Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Dalid. This is the second to last daf of the Masechet. It does have a complicated structure. The contents is pretty straightforward, but we're going to need this chart a couple of times. What we're going to deal with is a derivation for the following three laws about shofar. First of all, how do you know you're supposed to blow a shofar? The Torah just says Yom Teruah Zichron Teruah, just means blowing something. But maybe it means a trumpet. We'll see a derivation for that. In fact, two of them. Then the second question is, how do you know you're supposed to make a tikiyah sandwich? You have a tiduah in the middle and a tikiyah before and after. And then we're going to ask, how do you know you have to do three sets of those tikiyah sandwiches for nine kolot altogether, which we saw in the Mishnah yesterday. So we're going to derive all of this in two ways. First, we're going to derive all three from the pasuk in Vayikra that has to do with blowing shofar on Yom Kippur during Yovel. The pasuk is Vahavarta. We'll see all A, B, and C from there. After we do that, we're going to offer another derivation from the wilderness trumpets, when they blew trumpets, and we're going to see the sandwich from there. And then we'll see how the others also belong to that derivation. And once we have those two derivations, we're going to have some further discussion that's going to be some back and forth. And so we'll come back to this, but let's jump right into the Talmud. Tenor Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Minayin shebit shofar. How do you know that you have to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah and not something else, a trumpet? Talmud lomar va'abarta shofar teruah. We'll read this whole pasuk inside because we're going to come to it a few times. This is regarding Yovel on Yom Kippur. Va'abarta shofar teruah. Vavarta means you should pass, cause to travel, you should proclaim using a shofar, making a teruah sound on the seventh month, as Tishrei, on the 10th of the month, which is Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. So you see there's some repetition here because you could have just written Yom Kippur. We know from other pesukim when Yom Kippur is. And then another repetition, Ta'avidu shofar b'chol artzechem. You should pass a shofar sound in all of your land. So why all this repetition in the pasuk? We'll get to that. Right now, we're just focusing on the fact that it says you should blow a shofar. So for sure, on Yovel, we learn a shofar. We blow a shofar. And li'ela by Yovel. That's true regarding Yovel. But Rosh Hashanah minayin. How do we know Rosh Hashanah is the same? Tamudu b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. She'en tamudu b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. I'm going to learn it from the words Chodesh Shevi'i because I don't need those words. I already know it's the seventh month because it says Yom Kippur. So therefore, why is it coming and adding these extra words? The answer, to teach me that the month of Tishrei is one unit. Any blows that have to be done during Tishrei have to be the same. And therefore, since the one on Yom Kippur has to be with a shofar, so too, the one for Rosh Hashanah every year has to also be with a shofar. That's the B'chodesh Hashi derivation. We're going to use it a couple more times. Okay, so next question. How do I know that? I said I have to blow a tiru'ah, the short sound. Well, how do I know I have to blow a long sound first? I know it doesn't say the word tiki'ah, and we're going to see an opinion later that's going to disagree with this derivation because Vahavarta is not the same as tiki'ah. But this derivation, this Tana is learning it from Vahavarta, which means to pass before, and that suggests a long sound at first and then tiru'ah. So that's how we know tiki'ah first. And how do you know that after the tiru'ah, also you need to have a long sound? Shofar, right? In the pasuk, it says Vabata shofar teruah, and then after that, ta'aviru shofar. Ta'aviru shofar means a long sound. So there you go. You could, if you skip all the words in between, Vabata shofar teruah, ta'aviru shofar tikiah, teruah tikiah. That's there you go. That's how we learn the sandwich. Okay, same thing here. En li'ela b'yovel. Good. That pasuk is regarding yovel. B'Rosh Hashanah minayin. How do we know the same thing applies? We're going to use the same derivation, as we just did. Talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. She'en talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Ma talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Why didn't use extra words? I know it says Yom Kippur. I know it's the seventh month. She'u kol ha-teruot To teach me that the way that I blow a teruah with a sandwich, so too is all the blows of Tishrei have to be in a sandwich, including Rosh Hashanah. Good. Now the last thing I'm going to derive. I know I have to have a set of three. How do I know I have to repeat that set three times? As we saw yesterday, right? The essential mitzvah is to blow a tikiyah teruah tikiyah for malchuyot, again for zikronot, again for shofarot, nine altogether. How do I know to have to do the set three times, right? So up to here now, we're deriving these three sets. She'en minayin l'shoshatumud lomar v'avarta shofar teruah. Shabbaton zichron teruah, yom teruah yelachem. Okay, so ready for this, we can't just use one pasuk from Yovel. That's one of the pasukim, that's the first one, v'avarta shofar teruah. But we're also going to bring in Shabbaton zichron teruah from Parashat Emor regarding Rosh Hashanah. It's called zichron teruah. And also from Sefer Bimidbar in Pinchas, which talks about the Korbanot, it calls it yom teruah, right? Zichron teruah and yom teruah. Both those second two pesukim are both about Rosh Hashanah. So what do you see? That we bring them all together. It says three times in the Torah, teruah. So there you go. I know you need three sets. Now, this is not quite so simple because one of them is about Yovel. Two of them are regarding Rosh Hashanah. So how do we count them all together? So how do we know that we connect and mix them all together to say there should be three on Yovel and three on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, it says Shivi'i regarding Yovel. It also says Shivi'i regarding Rosh Hashanah is also in the seventh month. It says in Vayikra 23. So I connect the two Shivi'is together. And there you go. I mean, you can't just take any Shivi'i in the whole Torah and say, okay, blow shofar three times there. But they're both talking about a similar context. They both do mention a teruah. And so therefore, there's some, the context is also important, not only the single word Shivi'i. And so therefore, we can make a Gezerah Shavah. Gezerah Shavah has a long history in itself. The early Gezerot Shavot in Tanedic Midrashim are really very specific to a unique phrase or where there's something extra about one of them. But as time goes along, we find Gezerot Shavot even with words. But you always have to look at the context because usually that's an indication. Eventually, in order that Gezerot don't get out of hand, Amoraim teach that you can't make a Gezerot Shavah on your own. You have to have a tradition about it. But okay, this is a Gezerot Shavah that they have. Now, HaKesad, how does this work? Shalosh Shehen Tesha. So there, now that we know that each teruah has to be a sandwich, that's three, and I have to repeat the set three times, that's nine altogether. And how long is each one? We're repeating here from the Mishnah yesterday. Shiur Tikiah Ket Teruah. One long Tikiah is the same amount of time. If you blow that for 3 seconds, then the teruah should also be for 3 seconds. Shiur teruah kishlosha shebarim. A teruah, the broken, the very short, do 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 broken sounds, is equivalent to three shevarim. So shevarim is in between intermediate sound. And so if each shever is 1 second, so then now three shevarim would make one tikiah, and each part of a teruah, each do of a teruah would be a third of a second, and then you get the three different types of sounds are all equivalent, but going to be nine sounds altogether. Good. Now, question about this Gezerah Shavah. Haytana meikara maita la behekesha, vashta maiti la begezerah shavah. Question, the first two halachot, A and B, you learn from Hekesh, from the context. You said it says Chodesh Shavi'i, everything in Chodesh Shavi'i, in Kippur and Rosh Hashanah have the same laws. So fine, we accepted that. But then when it comes to the three sets, now all of a sudden you introduce a Gezerah Shavah. Why? Why don't you just use the Hekesh as you did before? And the answer is, you're right, we could have. If I didn't have the Gezerah Shavah, then yes, I would have relied on the Hekesh just from the Yovel Pasuk. Now that you tell me you have a gezer hashava, maybe you have a tradition for it, or you have a good reason to apply it. So good, it's even stronger. I don't need the hekesh. But really, you're right. I could have used the hekesh. Right. The truth is that there is a reason to use one over the other in each case. Regarding A and B, we derive it from a single pasuk, right? We know that it's true that you have to blow a shofar and that you need the sandwich from Vayikra 25 by itself. So Chodesh Shvi says, expand it to everything, to Rosh Hashanah as well. Whereas the three sets, I don't know from Yovel by itself. I actually need all three pasukim, one in Yovel and two in Rosh Hashanah, in order to derive anything. So it's not like it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And therefore, to combine them all together, I have more pisukim and I need more pisukim. So in this case, it makes more sense to use a gezerah shava to say that we count all three and we apply all three, both Rosh Hashanah and to Yovel. Very good, right? Like as a shahav, I mean, now that I have it, I can use the hekesh. All right, good. So now we finished number one. We have from this pasuk in Vayikra 25, we learn all three of these laws. And now we're going to shift and show that there is another opinion, another Tana who can learn B, this tikiyah sandwich from the wilderness. So let's see how he does it first. So this Tana also is going to use a gezerah shava, but using a different word, not shivi'i, and he's going to use it from a pasuk in Bemidbar 10. Good, let's see how he does it. Detanya, utkatem teruah. This is when Hashem tells Moshe, go and make trumpets of silver, and you can use them for various purposes, and here's how you blow them. And let's read the pisukim. Utkatem teruah. When you blow a teruah, then the camp on the east side, which moves first, they're in front, they will start marching. Utkatem teruah shenit. Then when you blow a second teruah, then the ones on the south side will start moving. And then it has a conclusion, teruah yitke'u lemasehem. And this is, in summary, how they will travel by blowing these sounds from the trumpets. So you see there's some repetition in this pasuk, and that's what we're going to use. Tikiyah bifnatzma, utruah bifnatzma. The first thing that we're going to do is derive something that we were assuming all along, but is worth saying explicitly, which is that there are two different types of sound that one can use, blow, in the trumpets in this case. And one is a long sound, tikiyah, and the other one is a teruah, a short sound. So just from the phrase utkatem teruah, so we see that these are two words, so they're two different sounds, right? Well, maybe not necessarily. This is a typical form for Midrash Halacha, that you say the hypothesis, and then you question the hypothesis, and then you bring a proof. So now we're questioning. You say tikiyah is one type of sound, and teruah is another type of sound? Maybe not. Maybe tikiyah is a synonym for teruah. So one's just a verb and a noun. Utkatem teruah, you should blow a blow. And it really is referring, there's only one type of sound. No, that can't be. Keshomer upakil eta kahal, titke'o velo tariu. In the later pasuk in that paragraph, it says, not when you're marching, but rather when you want to gather everyone together for a big meeting. So then you have to do a tikiyah and not a teruah. Oh, so now you see that there is a difference between the two. So now it's clear that these two words refers to two different types of sound. It doesn't say explicitly which one's which, right? But we can figure out. Tikiyah, you make a long sound when you want to bring everyone together. And don't do teruah. If you do a teruah, they're going to think it's a time of war. Good. So now we derive something basic that, in fact, there are two different sounds. And so that's very important. The truth is, in the peshat of some of these pesukim, the word teruah can utkatem teruah can mean tikiyah. You have to look at each pasuk and how the word is used. So the word teruah can have multiple meanings, but the point is that at least sometimes it does have a separate meaning. So there's two types of sounds. Good. Now that we know that, let's derive what we were looking for. Uminayin shepeshuta lefaneha. I know that a teruah means a broken sound. How do I know that I have to have a long sound before it? Tamud Amar Utkatem Teruah. So now we're not learning from the Ovel Pasuk like Tana, the first Tana did. We're doing another one. Since it says Utkatem, utkatem is tikiah, and then it says teruah. There you go, tikiah teruah. It's right there. We're taking it almost as if they're as they're both nouns, right? Do a tikiah and then do a teruah. And how do you know that after you do the teruah, you have another long sound? In other words, we're going to bring the pisukim together. Utkatem teruah, and then after that, utkatem. All right, so that is sorry, not learning from there, from the very end of that pasuk. The pasuk 5 says utkatem teruah, and the end of pasuk 6 says teruah yitkeu. So tikiah teruah, there you go. And then after the teruah, yitkeu tikiah tikiah teruah tikiah. That's how we learn the sandwich from the very sandwich that is found in this pasuk. Pasuk almost has itself is in a chiastic structure, beginning and end. Okay, very good. So now we have a derivation for the sandwich from the wilderness. Now, a subsection of this, Rabbi Ishmael beno shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka omer. Rabbi Ishmael is also going to derive the sandwich from the wilderness, just in a slightly different way. But fundamentally, it's the same. He says, "Eno sarich, what you just did here is too complicated. I have a simpler way to do it." You see, the pasuk says, first they blow it one time, and the eastern camp will travel. And then, utkatem teruah, you blow it again a second time. I can count. I can see they blew it once for the east, and then they blow it again for the south, and that's a second time. You don't need to tell me shenit. So, what is the word shenit coming to add? Umatamudoma shenit, ze banav banaav. This is an archetype. We say it once in one place, and we derive from every other similar context. Shekoma kom shenema tirua, te tikia sheniya la. Anytime you say there's a tirua, you're going to have a shenit, another tikia. So, in other words, he agrees that. The beginning of the pasuk says utkatem teruah, that's tikiah teruah, and then from the fact that it says teruah shenit means you have to repeat the tikiah that you said before and make a sandwich. So, and that's true for every tikiah. Good, every teruah. Zebanav she komakom shema teruah te tikiah tikiah sheniyah la en li ela b'midbar. And now finally we say, okay, I know that in the desert, that's true. You need to make a sandwich. Rosh Hashanah minayin. How do you know I have to make a sandwich on Rosh Hashanah? Tamud lomar teruah, teruah ligzera shava. Oh, it says the word teruah regarding the desert encampment, and it says the word teruah regarding Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, I make a different gezera shava, not the one that the first one made with shivii shivii, but rather teruah teruah. So there you go. That's we have now a derivation from Yovel for all three, and we have a derivation from the wilderness trumpets for the making a tikiah sandwich. And in fact, we have two different versions of that derivation. Doesn't really matter which one; they are effectively the same thing. Okay, good. Now, v'shalosh teruot nemru b'rosh hashanah. Now, once again, we're just going to come back to the fact that we have to have three, right? This part, three sets. And how do we know that? We're going to quote the same three pasukim. Shabbaton zichron teruah. That's the pasuk in Emor about Rosh Hashanah. Yom teruah. That's the pasuk in Bemidbar, Parashat Pinchas. Ubachodesh shivi bechad achodesh mikakod shelachem. Kol mitav lo tasu yom teruah yelachem. And finally, ubash vabatashavah teruah. And also from Vayikra, it says the word there also that you are going to make a teruah. So three times teruah. And since it's three times teruah, ushte tikiot dechol echat vechat. And you just told me I have to make a sandwich for each one. So three teruot and times two plus two tikiot for each. Masidun medin shalosh teruot. So now I know that there's three teruot, each one is in a sandwich, six tikiot altogether on Rosh Hashanah. So far, so good. And this fits with the wilderness derivation just as well, right? The teruot are all equivalent. Okay, now we're going to get to something that is a little bit complicated, but not too much. So we have three pisukim here. we were assuming here that three pasukim, if we derive something from a pasuk, then that means it's from the Torah. But now we're going to see two opinions and that say, since these one or two of these pisukim are actually needed for something else, they're actually, you can't use them also for learning a third set. And therefore, we're going to call it divrei sofrim. Let's see how this works. Shetayim midivrei Torah, two of these pisukim are explicit. And so you have to make two sets are from the Torah. V'achat midivrei sofrim. But one of these pisukim is only a hint. And therefore, the third set, blowing the third of the three sets, is only midivrei sofrim, a lower level. It's like a drabanan, or maybe a strong drabanan, divrei sofrim, sometimes used for something that's quoted from a Navi. Okay, this has an important source, but not explicit in Torah. Shabbaton zichron teruah, v'abarata shofar teruah midivrei Torah, yom teruah yelachem letalmudo huba. So these two pesukim, those are explicit, and I know that we have to blow the shofar, that's two sets, those are explicit in the Torah. But the pasuk from Bemidbar, Yom Teruah Yelachem, right, this pasuk here, B'chodesh Ha'av Shebi, B'chad Ha'chodesh Me'kod Yelachem, Yom Teruah Yelachem, that one we use for the Gezerah Shava. And the truth is that we can use any of these pesukim for Gezerah Shava, because they all have the word Teruah in them. But right now we're choosing this one from Bemidbar. In a second, we'll switch it up. So according to this, we have two pesukim are explicit and one is not. And that's what you see here. So this is the first opinion that says, regarding the wilderness trumpets, I know I need a Gezerah Shava. And so I have to use Bemidbar 29 for that. It's needed for Gezerah Shava. And therefore I can use the pasuk from this pasuk cannot tell me a third set. So two sets are from the Torah. This third set is only midivrei sofrim. But now we're going to have another version of Rabbi Yochanan that says, actually, no, it's Vayikra 23. That's the one needed for a Gezerah Shava. And Bemidbar 29, I need for something else to teach me that I blow shofar during the day and not during the night. Let's see that. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Sorry, Yonatan. Achat midivrei Torah ushetayim midivrei sofrim. Only one of the pesukim is explicit to tell me I have to blow one set on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, and two of them are only derived midivrei sofrim. Which one? V'abata shofar teruah midivrei Torah. That's the one in Yovel. That's from the Torah. Shabbaton zichron teruah v'yom teruah yelachem. The two pesukim that are regarding Rosh Hashanah. Tatamudohu ba. Those come. I need those for other derivations. So they're not explicit. According to this, really only one set of Tikiah Teruah Tikiah is from the Torah explicitly. The other two are added on midivrei sofrim. Okay, so my letamud hoba. What do I mean? I have need these for derivations. What derivations? Maybe one of them I need for the Gezerah Shava. Good. That's the one from Vayikra 23. And the other, maybe bayom velo balayla. We're switching it around because we want this pasuk that says yom. Right, yom teruah yelachem, to teach me that I only am obligated to blow shofar during the day and not at night. And so there you go, I have both of them. Now, ve'idach, according to the first opinion here, since he only has one pasuk that is needed for Gezerah Shava, not two, how is he going to derive the law that you need to blow shofar only in the day and not on the night? Ve'idach, ben v'lo b'layla min aleh. The answer is nafkale mi beyom hakipurim. Ah, the pasuk from Vayikra 25 that talked about Yovel, that you blow on Yom Kippur. Well, Yom Kippur has the word yom in it, so I can use that to tell me that I have to blow shofar during the day and not the night. Oh, but now we ask a really tough question. I beyom hakipurim yalif nigmor nameh mineh lifshuta lefaneh ufshuta lachareha. Once you're using the pasuk from Vayikra 25 as a source, and you're going to derive from that also on Rosh Hashanah has to be during the day and all the night. Now you're opening up this channel to learn from Vayikra 25 to Rosh Hashanah. And in that case, you may as well go back and agree with number one that says Vavarta of Yovel, and you don't have to bother deriving it from the wilderness trumpets, because you already used this pasuk from Vayikra 25 for one reason. So use it for everything. Why don't you do that? Why are you insisting on the wilderness trumpets and why don't you use the Bahavarta? Use that also to derive the sandwich law. The answer is, that opinion says, Bavarta doesn't mean to blow a shofar. It means to pass something along. He doesn't think it means to blow a shofar. All right. Ela ma'idar shibu. If he doesn't think it means to blow a shofar, then what does it mean? Oh, he derives something else from it, from both of those words. Ba'abarta, kidra matana. Damara matana, ba'abarta, derecha avarato. Taviru tekamarachamana, na'bere, beyad. He learns two things. From the word ba'abarta, he learns that you have to blow the shofar from the small hole, blow in, and the sound will come out of the big hole because the way that it grows, the way that it grows naturally is the small part grows and then it gets bigger and bigger and then you cut it off where the wide. So this teaches me that I can't warm up the shofar in warm water and then make the small hole bigger and the big hole smaller and blow it the opposite way. That's what he learns from the word v'ha'abarta and from the word ta'aviru. I might have thought that was when it says to take a shofar, maybe I just carry a shofar around, not even blow it. It's a strange havamina. I don't know why someone would think you just carry it around. No, this teaches me that that ta'aviru, I have to in fact blow the shofar. Good. So now that I know why this second opinion doesn't want to use the words va'abarta, these laws. Now we have a question back on the first Tana that learned va'abarta of Yovel. How does he derive those laws that you can't blow it the opposite way? Vidach the matana. Oh, he can learn that you can't blow it the wrong way from the fact that the Torah uses the word bahavarta rather than tikiah. Say titkeu. Why would it say ta'aviru? So now we learn two things: that the bahavarta that you have to blow the shofar, and also from the unusual word, I know that you have to blow it the way that it grows. So we can learn both things from that. Ta'aviru bayad lamasit amart. And the other question that you had, how do I know that I don't just carry it around? Nah, that's not a havamina, because I can derive that from another place. Degamar avara, avara mi Moshe. We have the same verb used here regarding shofar and regarding Moshe, ketiv achav abata shofar teruah, uchtiv atam v'aysav Moshe v'abiru kol ba'machane. Another place, Moshe commanded that it should be proclaimed throughout the camp. So here it says ve'aviru, and that refers to a sound. In other words, say these words and go and repeat them throughout the camp. So le'avir is implied that you are passing a sound. Malalan bekol afkan bekol. So too we know here that when it says ta'aviru, it means using a sound. Not just that you're going to carry around a shofar, but you're going to blow a shofar and make a sound with it. So it's implied within the word itself. And therefore, according to that first Tana, you can use va'abarta to teach me a sandwich. That's referring to a tikiah before and after. Good. Now, a question on the wilderness opinion. Ulai Tana demaitela mimidbar, ima lalan chasosrot, afkan chasosrot. Hold on, we don't have a full derivation because since in the desert they blew trumpets, not a shofar. So how does he know that you're supposed to blow a shofar, right? We had a good answer for that, for the derivation A. He learned it from Yovel, and Yovel says explicitly it's a shofar. But in the wilderness, it's trumpets. So if I'm using that for the Gezerah Shavah, then maybe I would say for Rosh Hashanah, it's also trumpets and not a shofar. Oh, for this, he will answer from a different source. Tamad lomar tik'u b'chodesh shofar, v'kese liyom hagenu eze ehu chag. So he will learn it from that back to the Mizmor of Rosh Hashanah that you should blow on the month. The word Chodesh here probably actually means the new moon, a shofar on the covered time. It's parallel to Bachodesh for our holiday. What holiday do we celebrate during the time when the moon is covered? Most holidays are in the middle of the month. Well, that's Rosh Hashanah. And this pasuk says shofar. So even though it's from Tehillim, and we don't usually derive halachot from Tehillim, nevertheless, it's fine here because It's just explaining what exactly you're supposed to blow. You know that you have to blow from the Torah itself, and that's how the opinion that says in the wilderness will derive this law. And so that concludes this entire section. We derive these three laws, both from the Vavatav Yovel and from the wilderness trumpets. And we asked about, regarding the wilderness trumpets, there's two ways, two different pesukim that you can use for that Gezer HaShava, and whether you need another one, even yet another one or not, to teach day and not night. And then we ask questions on each, number one, number two, why they disagree with each other. And we're able to derive all the laws according to both derivations. And so everybody is happy. And now we get to the second part of the daf. Atken Rabbi Abu Bekesari, Tikia Shilosha Shevarim. So Rabbi Abhu, who lived in Caesarea, there was Caesarea was an important city because it was the Roman seat of the local Roman government and their army. It was a very mixed city, cosmopolitan, lots of non-Jews, but many Jews as well. And Rabbi Abhu, who lived there, he made the following decree that we should blow not just Tashat and Tarat, as we saw yesterday, right? We mentioned yesterday that you have tikiah, tidua, tikiah. But what is tidua? Is it very short, whimpering sounds? Or is it sighing, moaning sounds? And we saw from MC Sarah, since we weren't sure, we do both, tashat and tarat. But he said, do something else. Also tashrat, tikiah, shevarim, tidua, tikiah. In other words, do tikiah, three medium length shevarim, then tiru'ah, the very short ones, and then tikiyah again. Now we ask to Rabbi Abhu, why? Why would you have to do that? Manafshach, I yalo le yalel, lavet tikiyah, tiru'ah, tikiyah. I ganuche ganach, levet tikiyah, shelosha shevarim, utkiyah. Make up your mind. If you think it should be very short, whimpering sounds, so then do tikiyah, tiru'ah, tikiyah. If you think it should be longer moaning sounds, then you should do tikiyah, shevarim, and tikiyah. So why would you do tashrat? So we answer, he's not sure which one it is, if it's the moaning or whimpering. Okay, now this really doesn't answer yet because we already took care of that effect by doing two sets, tarat, tashat, and tarat. So what's with the tashrat? And furthermore, it even seems to be worse if you do that because you're introducing a hefsek, a separation. So here we're going to ask on both sides. Matkif l'arav avira, v'dilma yalulei hava, v'kamafsik shelosha shevarim ben tiru'ah litki'ah. In other words, if you think that it is in fact the very short sounds, right? So go back, he has a tiki'ah, shevarim, tiru'ah, tiki'ah. If you think it's tiru'ah is the correct one, then you're doing tiki'ah, that's good. Then you're breaking it up with shevarim. And shevarim is nothing. So now you just have a hefsek between the tikiyah and tiruah. So you didn't fulfill anything. No, because afterwards he does just the tarat. So there's no sefek, there's no hefsek there. Okay, now the opposite. Maybe it's the longer moaning sound. So you did tikiyah. Shevarim, good. But now you make hefsek by doing a teruah before the last tikiyah. That's no good. And they'll answer that daravet tikiyah shevarim tikiyah. No, it's okay. We don't have to worry about the hefsek because he's going to do a tashat. Yeah, fine. But now ela debi abu mayat ken. What kind of takana is he saying? Since he just said that in any case tashrat doesn't work because either the shevarim will be a hefsek or the teruah is a hefsek, and he's relying on the tashat and tarat. So then don't do tashrat at all. What exactly did he add? If you think it's supposed to be the moaning, he did that. If he did the whimpering, he did that. Tashrat tarat. The answer is, there's really three kinds of crying. One is just moaning and sighing. One is just whimpering. But sometimes they're both, right? Sometimes you feel both of those, or one after the other. So then, therefore, you have to even feel that as well. All right. Okay, if you're going to add a third set, maybe you have to add a fourth set. Maybe the other way around. Tikiyah, tiru'ah, shelosha shevarim, utkiyah. We have to do the tikiyah. Then the tiru'ah, the very short. Then three of the shevarim, the medium ones, and then tikiyah. In other words, not only do tashrat, but also tarshat. You have, and you can have four sets in each place. Okay, good question. Tikiyah dilma yalel veganach. Maybe does both. No, the answer is setama demilta ki mitra beinish milita beresha ganach vehadar yalel. No, go look at how people act. And generally, if they're sad about something, first they're going to go in the moaning and sighing, and then when they get deeper into their sadness and they're really very, very sad, then they go into the whimpering, the very short ones. And so that's the way it goes. That doesn't go the opposite. You don't start with the short whimpering and then go into moaning. You go into a deeper cry, and so therefore the tashrat is sufficient, and you don't have to go the other way around. Okay, and now we get to the next topic. Taka barishona mashav hashenia kishtayim. The Mishnah mentioned that if one is saying the tikiyah teruah tikiyah, and this last tikiyah makes very long, and he has in mind it'll be the third of the first set and the first tikiyah of the second set, no good. You have to stop between them and take a break. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shama Tesha Tikiot Betesha Shaot Bayom Yasa. Rabbi Yochanan has a related law. What if you want to, I know you just said you have to take a break. What if I take a very long break, an hour? And let's say I say an hour between each. I make a tikiyah at 7 in the morning. Then I come back at 8 and make a tiru'ah. Then come back at 9 and do another tikiyah. And then every hour I do another one. Is that okay? Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, you fulfill your mitzvah. Very good. In other words, you have to just hear these things in order. They don't have to be back to back. Tanya Namehachi. Rabbi Yochanan has a braita backing him up that says the same word. There you go. Once we quote the braita, we're going to quote in entirety. If you hear 9 blows from 9 people all at the same time, you have 9 people, each with their shofar, and 3 of them blow tiduot, and 6 of them blow tikiot, no good. You don't fulfill your obligation. Why? Well, you know, we just said you have to hear them in order. Don't have to be all together, but you have to hear a sandwich, tikiah, then tiduah, then tikiah, then it's a sandwich. You hear all at the same time, it's no good. Okay, there's interesting Rashi here who suggests that the girsa should be yasa, because after all, we said in a few dapim ago that even though in general you can't hear 2 sounds at once, if it's a beloved mitzvah like Megillat Esther and like Shofar, then people will pay attention and hear one at a time, and therefore it should be yasa. Tosafot rejects this, however. It says lo yasa is correct because, yeah, even though if you have multiple, you have trumpets and Shofar playing at the same time, you can zero in on the trumpet, on the Shofar only. Yeah, you can do that, but you can't hear both. You can't pay attention to both at the same time. And also, it doesn't solve the problem of hearing them in sequence if they're both played at the same time. So therefore, it really should, in fact, be lo yasa as we have it here. Another law, tikiya mizeh usra mizeh yasa. If you have 2 different people blowing, right? Person A blows tikiya. Person B blows tiru'ah. That's fine. You can switch off. And that happens often. If Baal Tokeya gets stuck and he can't get the sound out, then someone else takes over in the middle. That's fine. And even if it's separated in intervals, even if it's the whole day, as we said, that is permissible. Okay, now we have a proof. Good. We have a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of his teacher, Rabbi Shimon ben Yosadak. Let's say you're saying Halel, and you said the first 2 paragraphs, then you take a break. If the break has enough time in the break to say the whole Halel, if it takes you 10 minutes to say Halel, and so you said the first 2 paragraphs, you took a break for 10 minutes, came back, you have to go back to the beginning, Chozer Ladosh. So you see, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan says, you're not allowed to take a long break in the middle. And for Shofar, it'll be much shorter, because how long does it take to do 9 sounds, right? Just a couple of minutes. And so according to this, you cannot take a break. How come Rabbi Yochanan says over here that you are allowed to take a break? Now, the truth is, it's not necessarily a contradiction, because talking about 2 different contexts. And the Talmud Yerushalmi here, in fact, says that Halel and Megillah are different because that's a unit. You're saying of praise together. You can't say half a praise and then come back. Megillah is a story. You tell half a story and then you come back for the rest. It's like you know, watching movies in Israel, they take a smoking break. It breaks it up. It's no good, especially if it's long enough that you could read the whole Megillat Esther in the middle, and then you're going to come back. No, you got to start from the beginning. Whereas Shofar is not a story, right? It's not, according to the Yerushalmi, it's not a unit. You just have to hear these sounds at some point in this order. And so this is, really, Rabbi Yochanan could agree with this. But the Bavli doesn't take it that way. The Bavli says, no, or they're all the same. They're all either a unit or they're all not a unit. And how do we resolve the contradiction? La kashya, hadideh, hadidabeh. The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan, when he said it was lenient and said, you can take a break, that's his own opinion. When he said this, that you cannot take a break, that he was saying in the name of his teacher, but he doesn't agree with his teacher, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehosadak. Okay, so we solve that. One more contradiction, Vididela, and he himself thinks that you can take a break. The story proves the opposite. Rabbi Abhu was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, and he was following him one day, walking behind him. And Rabbi Abhu was saying Shema. He got to an area of the city that was smelly, and you're not allowed to say Shema when there's a bad smell. So he stopped saying Shema. He was saying while he was walking, right? And then, after they got out of this bad smell place, and now he asked Rabbi Yochanan, the teacher, can I continue from where I left off? Says, no, if you waited enough time that you could say the whole Shema, then you have to start it from the beginning again. So this, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan thinks you cannot take a long break. And so which one is it? You just said he himself thinks you can take a long break. And now we have a story where he taught his student that you are not allowed to take a long break. So how are we going to resolve that? The answer is, actually, according to me, I think you can take a long break. And therefore, you can continue from where you left off. However, to be Abu, I know you, and I know that you don't agree with that. And you think in general you cannot take a long break. So therefore, I'm telling you, according to you, you should not, you have to go back to the beginning. And that way we resolve it. Rabbi Yochanan himself thinks you could take a long break, but his teacher and the student both disagree with him. It's okay. It's a bit of a forced answer, because generally, if a student is asking the teacher a question, the teacher is going to give his opinion, right? You're the student. And, you know, if Rabbi Abu already had an opinion about it, why is he asking Rabbi Yochanan? And so it sounds like the simpler answer is what the Yerushalmi said, is different. Shema is also a unit. You can't break it up. Only Shofar, you just have to hear those in order. But it seems that the Bavli is saying, no, they're all conceptually the same, and therefore has to resolve the contradictions in this way. Okay, there's more to the daf, but tomorrow's daf is very short, so we will continue and complete the Masechet tomorrow. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen v'amen.